Hello and welcome to the Luxury Lounge. I am your host, J Train, Jared Freed. Every Thursday, we go to the lounge. You might be thinking, wait a minute, what happened to the J Train podcast? It's all a part of the J Train Enterprises, but the Luxury Lounge is a new show where we get in the lounge and we complain about the luxury issues in life. And nobody can say to you, but what about, but they're starving, but people are dying. No, no, no. The Luxury Lounge is where you get to come and air your complaints with the world and nobody can shame you for it. It is a safe space for luxury issues. And every Thursday, my guest and I will complain with you. We will do a douchey duet of sorts. And I got Shelby here on the ones and twos. Shelby's here to do some luxury complaining as well. He's playing the piano as you can hear it. I'm lying across it, speaking to you, the listener, having a glass of Merlot. That's right. And if you're a Patreon subscriber, you know the Luxury Lounge. And it's been so popular on that platform, we're like, let's bring it out. Let's blow it up. So if you'd like your luxury complaint heard, you send it to jtrainpodcast@gmail.com and you title the email Luxury Lounge. And it might get read on a Luxury Lounge episode. Shelby, does this all make sense? Am I missing anything?
That's it. You know, you write in with your problems. I kind of picture you as like how the Dos Equis guy looks in those commercials.
That's right. That's me.
A silken robe.
A silk robe opened up, chest hair abound. It's just that's what I am. And I'm there to hold your hand through the complaint. That's the whole premise of the Luxury Lounge. So listen. I'm doing this because maybe you'll become a bigger Luxury Lounge fan than you are the J Train podcast fan, and you share it with friends, and you say, listen, this guy's complaining about everything. I'm the complaint queen, and you're my complaint people, my complaint queens. So we come here every Thursday to air the luxury issues we all have. And I'm going to have a guest every Thursday, and this week is no different. And I'm so excited because I think they're the perfect guest for such a show. And they're an amazing comedian. I have a radio show on Sirius XM every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 a.m. on Sirius XM, The Michelle Collins Show. Give it up for Michelle Collins. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, my God. That music, no, I'm not kidding. You relaxed me into a near lull, like Brad Pitt, 12 Monkeys. My eyes are rolling back in my head. I'm so happy to be here. It's a pleasure. Hi, boys.
It is such a pleasure. Thank I'm so you. Happy the music took you to a place. That's the thing. That's the thing about the Luxury Lounge is that we go in, we shut the door. And listen, you might not agree with some of the complaints. You might say, well, what about, well, then this is a party where we're playing the music and that, and if you don't like the music, it's time for you to go, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I agree. Who wouldn't like that music is my question. I mean, put me in an elevator forever. Lock the doors. I don't want them to ever open. I want to be stuck in it to death.
That's right.
Hi, guys.
That's right. It's so good to have you. Michelle, what's going on in your life? It's so great to see you. And listen, everyone needs to go follow Michelle at Mish Kahl on Instagram. It's going to be all over my social media. And also, she has a podcast called Midnight Snack. I have been a guest on both the podcast Midnight Snack and the radio show. What do you think, before we get into our luxury complaints, Bennifer?
I've never heard of them calling them Ben Effer. That's what I guess you could call J-Lo. It's like a Ben Fucker, the way you just, it's Bennifer.
Bennifer. I'm sorry to mispronounce.
Ben Effer does take it to a different kind of place, like a mother effer. Well, she's a real Ben Effer, I'll tell you that. But Bennifer, the couple, well, I'm over the moon. Can't you tell? I really feel... First of all, let me just say this. They both are at their physical peaks. I don't know how old they are. I saw before and after of J-Lo from 27 to now. Whatever she's had done, I want you to stitch me up, cut me open, laser me, pull me, yank me. I need all of it done to me today. Like, I don't want to wait to 50. I want it done now. I need the J-Lo treatment head to toe.
Do you think
no work.
That
I don't want to work out otherwise. Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez is like, do you think that's what it takes to be like a national hero at this point, is just like have great skin and look great at 50, and we're all going to be like, okay, whatever you say, we're on board. Like she went back to her toxic ex, and we're all like, good, yes. do it, please.
Well, I think that's the baseline. Like, you can't actually have any sort of fame unless you're already where J-Lo is. But then on top of it, she really is like the best looking 50-year-old maybe ever, but she's like cool. She's kind of quiet. Like, we don't really know when she's public. She's like funny. So you're like, oh, I'd love to be friends with J-Lo. Like, I just want to be her buddy. I am so glad she's back with Ben. I didn't like Ben's whole thing. Ben on Raya to me was rock bottom. I mean, I'm on Raya, and that is pushing it for me. Yes. And I'm a nobody. Ben Affleck on Raya was too dark. I didn't like it.
And for anyone listening at home, Raya, people might not know, is the famous Tinder. You have to have a following to be accepted into Raya. And then they have a lot of rules. What's that?
Do you?
You By the way, Cindy looked right at me via the Zoom.
Shelby looked directly
at eye contact. His name's Shelby. I keep calling him Sandy. Maybe that's why we have tension.
Shelby looked directly into Michelle Collins' soul and was like, "Do you need a following? You know, maybe you can just end up on there."
You look. If you're a DJ, if you're a photographer, that's good enough. I've seen like real estate agents on it. You know, you don't need to necessarily have anything. I think once you hit a certain age, wait, Shelby, are you on Raya?
Shelby, are you on Raya?
I was for like 10 minutes and I saw like a school teacher. And I was like, I thought there were like famous people on here. Okay. Like, what is
that? Was not Raya. I'm sorry to tell you, Shelbs.
you were on the PTA website for...
You were reading reviews from the local Subway sandwich shop. That actually wasn't Raya, but nice try. Shelby, remember when I called you Sandy for like 8 minutes? I'm sorry. Go on.
Well, I would say, well, it is interesting because Raya, you do hear about people being on it and you're like, oh, yeah. Like there is like, it does. There's a form of hot privilege that exists out there that you're like, oh, you're on there because you're hot and happen to have 4,000 Instagram followers for no other reason but hotness. But then you also call yourself a content creator. So now you're on here with Ben Affleck, which is crazy.
Yes. It's a bunch of bullshit, though. I will say that it is fun to be on it because they bring like guys from all over the world. So it'll be in Madrid. Like, I'll see soccer players from Germany and stuff. And sometimes you match with like an overseas athlete. That to me, it's like free traveling. Like, I enjoy that. And you know, I travel to England a lot, so I have a lot of like London matches, which is fun.
That's fun.
It's just, I don't know. Yeah, it is fun. I enjoy it. I'm not shitting on it, but it is in itself a joke. I mean, it's not.
I mean, as is anything.
Like a fun clusterfuck. Yeah, that's right.
I'm not trying to pimp this dating app, but I've been approached by to help put it out there, and this isn't even me. I'm kind of talk shit on it, but there's a Jewish Raya that has come out lately, and it's not. And I think it's called Locks Club or something like
it is.
That. Have you ever signed into it?
A friend of mine did it. I will not reveal her identity because literally we'll lose this friendship. But a friend of mine did do it. She was like, sign into it. I was like, fine. So I didn't even make a profile. I signed in. And by the end of it, I was like in a white hood. I was like, I can't do it. I mean, that's a joke. I'm a Jewish person. But it just was by the end of it, I was like, this
it turned
is my.
You? You're like, you're rushing, no, the, you're rushing the Capitol on the 6th. You're like, Locks Club did this to me.
I was in Nancy Pelosi's office just like raving about it, how horrible it was. It just is not for me. It's just, you know, I don't know. Certain apps, if they don't look slick enough, feel janky in a way where.
I didn't think of it that way.
It just feels like, ooh, not great. And probably the big problem with it, look, there already was J-Date and like J-Swipe, whatever the hell it was. I respect people who go on it who want to meet a Jewish partner. Sure. Like, I think that's great. I'm not ruling it out for myself. It is not the top thing for me. You know what I mean?
So
it's not like the driving force.
Let me, so this is Luxury Lounge. If you're listening right now, this is why we invited Michelle Collins on the show. We are legitimately doing what we will be doing for the rest of the episode, and it's complaining about luxury issues. The luxury issue here is a dating app exists to bring Jews together who want to meet Jews, and we're like, here's seven issues with it. And I, and like,
this is a Jewish podcast, because basically luxury complaints is the first rule of the Torah. Like, totally. You unfurl the shit. And I'm just like, sail it, Bergdorf's BRB. Yeah. That's like me responding. You know, you can't do.
This is sitting at the problems. Yeah. This is sitting at the brunch table with my parents in Boca. This is what this show is supposed to be. And but I will say, by the way. I mean, we're gonna get to it. But luxury lounge with Locks Club, it was presented to me as Raya for Jews. So it was like, and I'm not someone to sit on Moral Mountain. I'm not a big like the ethical issue, but there is an ethical issue. At least with Raya, there is the guise, as we just went over, of you must have a following to be on this app. Ben Affleck will be here, and so will hot chick with 4,000 followers who calls herself a content creator. But at the very least, there is the lie that they can live under of we all have people who follow us. Right. The problem with Locks Club is what makes someone a contender for Locks Club, like, or what makes someone able to go on J-Swipe but not accepted into Locks Club? And the only thing I can think of is money and looks.
Money.
Like,
well, what
is
else
it
is
just,
there in dating? Listen,
but that's
not to
I know.
Be shady.
I guess it's more honest. Yeah,
it's not what I necessarily. This is problematic. My mother's listening. She's like secretly cunning. It's not necessarily what I care about. And by the way, how do you start a Jewish Raya and not call it Marble Raya? Is the guy an actual idiot? Like that is born.
Michelle Collins at Mishkal, the quickest comic in the Please. Game.
Come
Marble
on,
Raya is amazing. I mean, everyone needs to just.
Guest, so everyone knows.
I mean, everyone needs to go follow Michelle Collins just for Marble Raya. I mean, and if you didn't get that joke, you're out of here. I don't know if you're even
you're
enjoying
out of the Locks
this episode. Locks Club, but the idea that. I mean, I'm like, how do you, looks and money, but I guess every app is somewhat looks and money at some point, but it is interesting to me that like, who are these people on this like jury panel that are judging Jews on whether they can get into this higher end version or not? And I'm like, there's a lot of issues in that. Like, I don't think that's actually
anything. It's like Soho House, you know, also has like, who's the jury at the Soho House who decides who can or can't spend $4,000 to then go spend $500 on a brunch. I mean, that is what that
fair.
Basically is, you know?
Absolutely.
I don't know. I have no issue with it on a moral ground. Used the app for like 4 minutes, every guy on it, I was just like, oh, this is every guy that I hated in high school. It's just not, they're not the guys that I date for me.
Sure.
But I wish you a lot of luck. If anything, it's good for me because it weeds them out. You know,
lot of bottle service boys on that app, I would imagine.
That's
so listen, we're here at the Luxury Lounge. Shelby's here. Michelle Collins at Mishkal. We're going to get to your Luxury Lounge complaints. I think the only appropriate way to start the Luxury Lounge and do our premiere episode is for me, Jared Fried, to kind of waltz out to the edge of the cliff and be a little brave and announce my luxury complaint this week. Right, Michelle?
I agree.
So yesterday I'm in the city and my luxury complaint is about Amber Alerts. And let's just say it plain.
Is she on The Bachelor?
Amber Alert. Yeah, she's the new Bachelorette and she's... She's Amber Alerts. She was great at the strip club. I understand if you have an iPhone, there is a moment where you get, and listen, I want these children to be found. I do agree. It's better than the milk carton. I can't even believe that was even an option at a certain point. But it is a jarring moment when you get that Amber Alert on your phone. It is a huge bell whistle and you're like, and minute one, you realize how little you do in the face of danger. Because I got the iPhone watch. So now I get it on my phone. I get it on my watch. My whole body is jostling. And I do, and at minute one, you go, what am I going to do? Put on my detective hat and get out my you know, a Carmen Sandiego, this thing? What am I supposed to do? Do you understand what I'm talking about, Michelle?
You can. Well, I'll tell you something funny. You can turn the alerts off in your iPhone. And I did that. And I talked about it on my radio show. And I got all these tweets from people being like, you monster. I got shit for turning them off. I'm like, look, if a child is missing in New York, where would that child be? Like on the one train? Like, I'm not looking for a Nissan, you know, Sentra plate. Like, we don't have car situations like that here. We're not on the highway like that, you know?
Well, in addition to that, in minute one, when you get the, like, I looked at the Amber Alert and I went, okay, not in my apartment. Am I done? Have I done my, you know, and then, like, do I have to, listen, I got the same alert 3 times yesterday. By the third time, when, like, you turning it off and me on the third time, that you have to deal with how not a good a person you are, which is really the most horrible part about the whole thing. Because at least with the milk box, you look at it, you go, I'm pouring my milk. I'm not. It's probably already done. It happened 3 weeks ago. When it's the iPhone, it does feel like you are legitimately turning off the idea of like doing it. Like you have to deal with like, oh, I guess I'm not a great person. And like the fifth time you go, can this kid shut the fuck up already? Like, you just want it out.
Well,
like,
you feel that one, you turn it off, you feel that once. And honestly, I felt like I'm actually helping. Cause here's the other thing about New York pre-pandemic, which is when I did turn it off. Sure. If you're out at a restaurant or in a movie or whatever, and that phone thing goes off, first of all, everyone's goes off at the same time. Second of all, if yours is the only one, everybody looks at you like you fucking asshole. And then you're the dick. Yeah. So there's another level of just like disturbance that happens with that automatic alert where they should consider maybe not having the noise go off or maybe just having a silent text go through. I think it would be more efficient than having a big blaring thing go off because most people I know have turned the shit off.
You should sign in. Shelby, what was that?
Mine went off in a packed theater and everyone's went off and we all thought it was like War of the Worlds because you're never around that many people at once. And now there's like some sound you never hear. We're all like, okay, it's done. All right, we'll go back to watching.
And then the kid was like, I'm here. I'm sorry. It was like, it was Cars 2. He's like, I'm so sorry. I'm here.
I've just been enjoying the film. Yeah. No, well, when it's in a packed movie theater, now you all have to look at each other like, oh, we're all not great people. We're not like the minute everyone doesn't run out, they're like, no, I want to finish Minority Report. So I can't go anywhere now. Like that is
just great reference. God, I love Minority Report so much. Go on.
Do you have a luxury complaint for us to go over before we get to the emails? And anyone can send in your luxury lounge, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Send in title it luxury lounge. I got 6 in front of me. We're going to get into them.
It's funny, you told me this morning we were doing this, and I actually have so many complaints. Every day, I have a new complaint. So, you okay? What do you need?
In my throat, but I listen, you've already complained with Locks Club, you know,
I don't
too many
love
Jews.
The tone you're taking. I don't love the tone you're taking with me. This is a podcast about complaints. You literally just said you already complained. You just asked me. So here's
my complaint is too many complaints from Michelle Collins.
Welcome to every show that I do is just me complaining. The one that I had recently is I ordered something on Postmates, which you have to be making over $500,000 a year to order Postmates. It's so fucking expensive.
It is unbelievable. Before you get into this, how much you and you get to the end of your order on Postmates and you're like, I'm already here. I've already eaten the meal in my mind. I'm not walking this back.
Wait, I actually have two good food app ones. All my complaints about food apps, I'll make it very quick. One is that's a lie. I placed this order on Postmates last week for some fucking like coffee place, you know, on the Upper West Side. That place was considering the order for like an hour and a half and the time just kept pushing. The thing with Postmates is not unlike Seamless where you actually get a person, I don't care what country they live in. I just like to talk to someone sitting in there, wherever. Here, you cannot, you can only do chat. You cannot get anyone on the phone. And literally for 3 hours, like a $50 order, for 3 hours. And the thing that was making me fucking crazy, because actually, while this is a luxury complaint, I also care about, say with me, the little person, is that they kept sending different delivery people to wait for this order, like waiting for Godot. That was just never coming. So I kept calling these people going, listen, this went on for almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
I said, just go. Like, I literally called them. They're like, no, it's fine. And I actually asked to Venmo them tip because I felt so guilty. It was raining outside. I was like, please let me send you like $8 just for the inconvenience. Because I actually felt delivery people to me are like some of the best frontline workers New York City has to offer.
Sure.
Helping the lazy, helping people. They work their asses off. They literally risk their lives, not just robbery, biking,
the cold,
all this shit.
Snow, sleet, storm. They're the USPS. Yeah.
No, heroes. And so I feel, I always tip nice. And actually, quick other mini complaint. And I realized is this luxury? I think it is, because it's like food ordering.
Loving it.
I got addicted to, thanks to Sarah Jessica Parker, long story, to Joe and the Juice spicy tuna sandwiches. Have you guys tried it?
So I know that the Joe and the Juice people, there are people that love this place. And anytime I see their food, I am like, I'm not in. I don't know what it is. It's like, because they prepare it before, but I do know that this sandwich is like a fan favorite, and it's a very much a, I think it, not to gender this, but it is a female fan favorite. Women seem to love this sandwich.
I do find that offensive, because actually I know a lot of men who eat the Joe and the Juice spicy tuna sandwich, including Sandy and Shelby. But what I will say is that I'm going to keep referencing that the whole podcast, by the way.
Good old Sandy Shelbs.
Sandy Shelbs. It's like a SpongeBob character. Wait, by the by, at Aventura Mall, famous mall that I go to, where there was also a, say with me, mass shooting this weekend. There's a Joe and the Juice there. It's so horrible. And I got into a fight there because they made my sandwich using their black cleaning gloves. I saw them literally wiping a table with Clorox using the gloves and then slap together my sandwich. And I was like, I can't eat that. And they got, these teenagers were pissed. Go on.
This is my problem with Joe and the Juice, though. Don't they usually have those sandwich pre-made?
They make it per order.
They make it? Nope. Okay. They make two MTO.
That's hilarious. It is a delicious it is a delicious sandwich. I actually want to send one to you gratis, but let me tell you, I won't be sending it. I will not be sending it via the app, because their fucking app, which I actually wrote a letter on their website about, you place the order and they do delivery on it. For whatever reason, I could leave, because they do usually a $10 tip for delivery. I'm very generous. I think less than 10. Yeah. I think when I do it for 10, it's like when I get a pedicure. Would I touch my own feet for $15? Absolutely not. So I tip $15. I'm like, I wouldn't touch my fucking feet for $15, you know? So long story short, with this tipping, you press, let's say 20%, whatever it is, you press send. As it is considering the order, it automatically defaults to the 10% tip.
Oh.
So it defaults all, and I realized this, to like $3 to take it about a mile and a half.
Yeah, and people are going, people are making their own decisions. They're going, I'm not leaving the house for $3.
No. I literally, the fact that I have not gotten suck my dick written across one of these sandwiches, and I get embarrassed. I saw it. I go, what the hell? Like, I wanted to leave. So I have to scrape together, you know, my singles. This is such a boring story, but I have to, you know, pick through my old jeans to find cash to give to these people, because I feel guilty.
But this is what the Luxury Lounge is all about. You shouldn't have to do this. And my major issue with the apps is what you're saying, and you're totally right, is that there's a disconnect. Some apps, you get to watch the little bicycle travel across the screen. They should all work like Uber. You should feel connected to your order at every turn. I was traveling this past weekend. I had the same thing happen with me. I was done late with shows. I ordered Chinese food because I'm a drunk fat mess, and I was like, I need chicken fried rice. And I was like, and it's the worst thing for me, and I'm trying to lose weight, and I'm pissed about it. And I get to the end of the order, just like you're saying, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'm spending $60 on Chinese food for myself. Order goes in. I'm like, I've had it with it. I did it on the way home so that it would get to me within 20 minutes of me getting back to the hotel. Yeah, I want it. Like, I want to never break stride. That's how my goal is to have the Postmates person hand me a bag as I'm walking into my hotel room to get naked and eat it in my shorts with no t-shirt. So now that
paradise
is the dream.
Yeah,
and I'm
on.
Trying to get to that moment. So I get back to the hotel and the app isn't showing me where it is, and it's saying that the restaurant is closed. So I'm going, what's going on? So you ever order it before the restaurant closes, then the restaurant closes, now you're disconnected with the restaurant, you can't even call them to complain. So now I'm just sitting outside wishing upon a star, and I'm like, hello, Chinese food restaurant, please, I hope you're coming. And I'm like talking to the door guy at the hotel, and he's like, yeah, man, I don't know if it's coming. Like, I'm discussing with him how much a fat loser I am. And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking to myself, I've given up on the Chinese. So I gave up on the Chinese food. I walk into the hotel, tail between my legs. I say, no, I'm still hungry. I'm ordering Domino's. Domino's has the best app in the game. There is no app that they literally hold you like a baby in their arms and rock you until the food gets to your door. So I'm like, I'm ordering Domino's. I can count on it. It'll be fine. I'll get the thin crust pizza because I'm being healthy with pepperoni on it. So listen, I get it from Domino's. I order it. I'm like, oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Domino's God. I go downstairs to pick up the Domino's. The door guy looks at me. He goes, it's your lucky day. Your Chinese food is here. I go, oh, God.
I'm going to absolutely blow my brains out. I can't take it.
He hands me a bag that is legitimately the size of my torso. 75 pound bag. I go, I'm so embarrassed. I'm like, oh, my God. I also have Domino's coming. I then bring the Chinese food up to the hotel room. I'm like, what am I going to do? The same door guy is going to see me bringing up. And so then I go. So then Domino's is calling. I go downstairs.
That is the worst feeling. The door guy looks at me.
He's like,
oh, no.
He did one of those moves where he's like, you? Domino's? Like, you could see him doing the math in his head. And I'm like, I got a full house upstairs. And then I just ran up with both foods and ate them
all. Which one did you eat? You didn't eat all of it. No.
Listen, I have a binging problem. So,
this is like tapas.
It was a little tapas. You know what? This is why Shelby Sandy is the best producer in the game. He knows how to make any pro. This is right. I a little tapas. I had a little bit of everything. I put some fried rice on the pepperoni thin crust pizza. Gonna be a suggestion to the Domino's Corporation that could
I
be a good
the guy
fun thing.
Who makes it. I love that cartoon man who makes her pizza on the pizza tracker. I haven't gotten Domino's in a long time because for me, it is where I know. It's like when an addict texts the dealer. Like, I just know when I'm on that Domino's page that I'm like, when I say rock bottom,
hey, baby, you still around?
27 hours. My arm is like jammed in the pizza oven and I can't get it out. Like Domino's to me is, it reflects my unhappiest times in LA where, and I wonder, I'm going to reference something in LA that if anybody knows who this is, they're going to feel very connected to me. There was a delivery guy at the West Hollywood Domino's, such a nice guy who had such a high pitched voice. Like, I felt so bad for him because he was so sweet, but he clearly medically had something going on and he had like a Minnie Mouse voice, a guy. And he was so nice.
Like high pitch Eric.
Yes, I won't do the voice because it's not nice, but he would like be like, your pizza's here, like through my door. And I'd be like, it's you. And I'd throw the door open, get my shit. Those fucking, I'll tell you what I cannot bring into my home. And I won't do it, Jared. Those cinnamon twists. I cannot bring bring any Domino's dessert into the house because I don't know what they put in that shit. If it's methamphetamine, maybe what that horse did, the anti-inflammatories, whatever that Kentucky Derby horse.
That's what got him.
It's a goddamn.
When they first came out with desserts at Domino's, it was like the drug dealer being like, just try it. You know, they gave it with you. They were like, and you get free cinnamon sticks. And then the rest of your life, you're like, I know how good they taste. I know they're somehow greasy. And they all just, the problem with Domino's, they make it all in the same oven. So it's just all different versions of a pizza. It's all the same bread. It's all the same. And then just different things spread on it. But let's get to some luxury lounge items.
And they have that butter needle. I just have to bring up that butter needle. They have that butter needle.
Wow. Shelby's showing the app right now. And like the app is making me hungry through the Zoom. This is crazy. Shelby, do you have any...
It's honestly delicious. Go on.
Shelby, we want to get your luxury lounge complaint, but we want to read some of the listeners at jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Title it Luxury Lounge. Send it in every Thursday. We're going to be going to the lounge. This is Michelle Collins is killing it right now at Mish Call. Love it. Ever go follow Midnight Snack. That's your podcast. The Michelle Collins Show every Monday through through Friday on Sirius XM, 7 to 10 a.m. It's a fantastic show. Shelby, do you have a luxury complaint before we get to the listeners?
I do. Just in editing the podcast, now we have to put out a video clip, you know?
Yes.
So you're in the audio app. You're in the video program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in the Adobe Audition, to make a cut, you press the R key. And then you go over to Premiere, and you'd think, you know, Razor, it's the Razor tool. In Audition, the R key, Razor. In Premiere, it's the C key.
Oh, so the keys change. This is a very, there is someone who also edits stuff that is like, finally, someone said it. And the rest of our listeners are going, okay, we have no.
Now,
literally, you said key change. I thought of Beyonce's Love on Top. That's where I'm at mentally. I was like, ooh, key change. But
Shelby, listen, your complaint is worth it. Go ahead.
You could go in and make like custom key things, but why not just make it the same across your whole platform?
That's a good point.
Totally agree. The J Train podcast is brought to you by Truff. I am such a huge fan of Truff. I love what they're doing as a company. Not just their hot sauce, which I love, but I saw it and I was like, okay, it's truffle hot sauce. Cool company, fun, delicious, yeah. But what else could they do? And now they have a line of products that is for everyone listening right now. I don't care who you are, you're going to have something that you're going to love from them. They've got truffle mayonnaise, truffle hot sauce. They got, I think there's like, there's truffle pasta sauce. And in different kinds, you can get like the vodka sauce. It's truly unbelievable how they've grown black truffle arrabbiata, black truffle pomodoro. So they don't have the they got an arrabbiata and a pomodoro. I mean, people, it takes a dish, a normal Monday night, a normal Tuesday night, and it turns it into a fancy, luxurious affair. And we know we love luxury here on this podcast. And I got to say, it's just the pasta sauce, they're out of it all the time. Like, you have to get it. It's that good. Here's the other thing they're doing. They're doing truffle-infused olive oil. And I'm using it, what I do, what it's made, here's how it's helped my life. Yeah, you heard me. Truff has improved my life. And I want it to improve yours as well. I'm not even exaggerating, because I'm trying to be healthy. You guys all know I'm obsessed with, you know, trying to lose weight, I'm always trying to lose that 10 pounds. And part of it is eating right. And when I eat right, you know, there's this like TikTok thing where someone that's a trainer, he's like, if you want to, you know, get in good shape, you got to eat like a dog. You got to eat very much the same every day. And what Truff has done for me is added excitement to my healthy meals. When I'm eating eggs, I can put the Truff hot sauce. I can use the Truff olive oil to coat the pan. And now I've added a little bit of a different spin on trying to eat healthy. You can do it with your chicken, your eggs, whatever, you know, whatever you're doing, your pastas, you're doing a whole wheat pasta, throw some Truff pasta sauce on there. There you go. Now you've been taken away to the Italian countryside, and you can hear the truffle pigs in the background. So listen, you get to be the truffle pig. You get to eat it all. So listen, I've gone on and on. And just for my listeners, they're giving you an even better offer. They actually like the people that work at Truff, they're fans of the show too. So they're gonna help out fellow listeners. Get 15% off site wide, plus free shipping with promo code JTRAIN at Truff.com. That's 15% off plus free shipping on everything. So everything I just mentioned, 15% off plus free shipping. Just shop at Truff.com. That's T-R-U-F-F, F as in fantastic, .com. Truff.com. Use promo code JTRAIN for 15% off. Listen, everyone should send in their luxury lounge, JTRAINpodcast@gmail.com. Let's read it. Ready? You ready to go?
I'm ready.
My job is incredibly flexible. I work remotely, and not just a COVID thing. The company was remote prior to COVID and will continue to be indefinitely. I'm able to live anywhere in the country, and I'm paid well enough to not really have to sweat cost of living. I have no long-term partner. My family is very spread out already, and this support and thus supportive of me moving wherever I want. I have limitless choices, and I'm paralyzed by the anxiety of where to go. I can't help but doubt my choice, no matter which one it is, because when you can be anywhere, it makes you really think critically about why you're going to be in that particular city as opposed to any of the other options. I've lived in 4 cities in 2 years, moving to the 5th in the fall. I totally agree. The options being limitless mean that you keep moving options. This is a very relatable thing. Think of, you know, these dating apps. This is... people are like, I'm one swipe away from maybe better. We're chasing ghosts. Michelle, where would you live if you could live anywhere in the country? Or how would you handle this having limitless options?
Well, it's funny because I feel like everyone sort of went through this past year, pandemic, except for the travel aspect, I guess. But working from home, I actually thought this like, okay, maybe if I could do my show from anywhere, you know, I mean, you know, yes, that if I could go anywhere in the world, I would move to London tomorrow. London. Like, it's my, yes, favorite city in the world.
The land of many D's for Michelle Collins.
It's Uncut D's. That's my Adam Sandler movie about it. God, I'm good. Anyway.
At Mish Call, go follow immediately for Uncut D's.
God, I love you so much.
That was amazing.
Okay. Thank you. That is funny. And I'm going to figure out a way to tweet that. But, yes, but I got to tell you, Jared, when I was in Miami, which was for 2 months, it was the first time I'd ever gone there and not stayed with my parents. And the freedom of that, I actually had a great time. Miami is can be very dumpy. Like, the people can be hard, yeah, sometimes. I had such a great time. I was like, I could actually see myself living in South Florida, which is also where I was born and raised.
I totally agree with this complaint. I totally agree with you. South Florida has, you know, that's the thing you learn when you kind of like, because of this year, many people got to like go to their hometown or go to maybe somewhere new and kind of explore living long term somewhere. So I think all of us are kind of going through that like, wow, I could do this somewhere else. Wow, I could do this. And I think for this person, what I would say to them, they say they don't have to sweat the cost of living. I think that is like number one. Where can you afford? Where can you live large? Where can you live fun? Where can you get your most disposable income's worth, you know, out of your disposable income, you know? So, and my initial suggestion was going to be to do some testers, like, you know, let's do a few different cities and see which we like. But they've already said they've lived in 4 cities in 2 years, moving to a 5th in the fall. So they've kind of already
too many
tested the market. Like, at this point, what I would say to them is you need a crew. I think the you need people to hang with, and your city is only as good as the people you can lean on, the family. Yeah. Like, I think part of what you loved about South Florida and what I love about it is that I could like hang with my mom and dad and not feel the need that I was like missing out on meeting new people. But you could like kind of like go in and out of it. You didn't have to like, you know, stay with mom and dad. You could like do an hour, you know, instead
do
of like a whole day.
Mom and dad drive by was plenty for me. And then, yeah, and I rekindled with people from high school who I haven't talked to in 100 years. You know, I had a good time. I went out with people. They have beautiful restaurants down there. The beaches are beautiful. Obviously summertime, you know, my joke is you walk out of the house and you look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Total Recall, cause there's no air. Like, you can't physically breathe when, yeah, you leave your house. But it's a bad place. I agree with you, friends. That's what it's going to be about. I don't know if this person is single or not, but also where you find dating success or where your partner's
they're
happy.
Single.
Single. Where you like to date, too, honestly, would help, I think.
But the thing I'm going to complain with them about, and the worst part about this is you do kind of go, I could do this. You know, like every place you go, I could do it. But is it the one? Is it the one I need to do? No? Well, how do you feel?
I don't agree because, well, when I was in LA, which was the, again, 5, you know, Domino's infused years of my life, as we discussed. So you can imagine what I looked like. I did not feel that at all. Like, I knew from the first year that was not where I was going to end up, but I just kind of had to stay there because I had nowhere to go. You know what I mean?
Sure,
like, you
sure
do know when you get, I can tell you, like, I couldn't live in San Francisco. I just know I would hate it there.
What's the reason for
what
that?
What were you going to say? You know, I just don't connect with it there. The downtown area, it feels like stepping into an old Guys and Dolls short story where everyone is like a weird, greasy gangster. Like, it just, there's an energy in San Fran where I really thought, yeah, I could see myself getting murdered here, like, easily. Like, I could just absolutely see my murder happen. There are a couple cities, and then there are other cities that I just adore and could, honestly, I could almost see myself living in Vegas. I feel like talking about this, people are like, oh, Michelle's a garbage bag. Now I get it. She's shitty. Portland, Oregon, I love. Just
I love Portland,
West.
Oregon. But then there's this, like, yeah. There's also the city suburb thing. Like, yeah. You go live in a suburb for like a week, you go, oh, things are pretty simplified here. You know, like, but then you go, am I done with excitement? Am I going to be going, oh, I won't come into the city tonight? You know, like, that's another part of it where you go, you know, because I see people where they're like, yeah, I'm mowing the lawn. And I'm like, wow, what a zen moment for you that I have no relation to whatsoever.
None. I mean, you know, the funny thing is that I'm like, oh, maybe I'll move because I'm on the Upper West Side. I'm like, maybe I'll move. And then I look at New Jersey and I'm like, oh, that'd be fun. I could go to Costco every day.
Yeah.
And I could just see myself driving off the George Washington Bridge to my death after like 3 months, you know, just being like, it just got to be too much. So basically, I don't know where this person will be happy, but I wish them all the best.
We could all do this, by the way.
What's like, that?
I know somebody who their job was in the Times Square building, like their company had
that
a whole
famous
floor.
One.
It cost. And like recently they said, we're not going to have an office there anymore. Like you're all going to work from, and they're like a global, it cost $7 million in rent a month.
Really?
To have the office there. So like, imagine if you're like, oh, can I have a raise?
Like,
and now we're going to like, suddenly we're not going to spend like, you know, I don't know, 7 times 12, like over $80 million a year.
But, sure.
Yeah.
Like, but you couldn't give me like a little bit of...
It does
but
translate.
That's every New York place, yeah.
Well, it does translate. It's like if you're going to go remote, they're like, well, we have to pay. There's this weird thing. It's like they don't have to pay for an office anymore, but they're also saying we don't have to pay you as much because you're going remote and you don't have to come to the office. And you're like, wait a minute, this math doesn't work out at all. If I'm this person, I'm going to be near a beach. That's where I go.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a beach or bust because, you know, and that's what's going to make you have, you know, a beach solves all issues. You're having a bad day, go to the beach. You're feeling hot, go to the beach, take a dip. It's just one of those things. And that's why, you know, Florida kind of speaks to me. But I let's do another luxury lounge. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Okay. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Send it titled Luxury Lounge. This one says investing. There are so many companies to invest in and jargon that at this point in my life, I'm too embarrassed for people to know that I don't know. You have to be a finance person to understand what's going on or someone who has put aside a ton of time to gain a loose grasp on why, quote unquote, the market is up or down. I honestly have no idea what's going on in the stock market, but I have $50,000 invested based on what one person told me one time. Also, I cannot tell you how my dishwasher works. Honestly, once I turn it on, I have no idea how dishes come out clean. Sincerely, a rich idiot. So let's start with investing. I totally agree with this complaint. Investing is one of those things where whenever someone talks about it, they talk about it confidently. You rarely hear people that are like, hey, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with my money, because that is an embarrassing way to enter a room. It is more... And this happened with the dot-com boom, and it's happening now with crypto, where your friend who listened to one person and got a bit lucky is going, you know, crypto, you know, Dogecoin, you know, whatever the fucking thing's called. And then they get to sound like a smart person for a while. But, you know, here's the problem with that person. And they're the same person at the casino who tells you about the wins and never tells you about the losses. For every win, there's 20 losses. And let me just tell you, as someone who sold life insurance and annuities and in retail investment products, that's what that is. Nobody knows what they're doing, even people who work in the financial world. I remember meeting with people who worked at like Goldman Sachs, and you'd be like, well, how are you saving money? And they're like, I don't know. I just kind of put it in the bank. And you go, don't you work at Goldman? Aren't you at the most famous one? And they don't know what the fuck they're doing. So just know nobody knows what the hell they're doing. And if they're telling you about a little kind of like side hustle investment product, they got lucky and they'll probably be unlucky the longer they stay in it, because the longer you stay at the casino, the more likely you are to like lose money. Michelle, do you agree?
100% agree. Also, I'm like a noted idiot. Like, I think people, when they think of me, they go, well, she's an absolute moron. And I invest my money in schmatas from Marshalls that I then sometimes sell to Buffalo Exchange for about 40 cents a piece. So I get about 0.001% of my money back in certain cases, which is pretty good. I have no idea how the stock market works. And, you know, I think if I did understand it, I'd be good at it, because I actually can. I'm like schemey, very, you know, not to give our peoples a worse reputation, but I can scheme sometimes or find out, you know, like when I was on eBay in college, I used to find amazing deals for things and know that there was worth there and then sell it and make a ton, not a ton of money, but spending money in college, put it that way. This was like, you know, 20 years ago, but I think that is the stock market. I just don't understand how it literally works. You know,
not to be this guy who had one person say one thing and they've just gone with it their whole life, but the S&P has outperformed bonds over any 10-year period over the course of its history. So it's all about risk tolerance. People don't do just an S&P index fund because
it
goes.
What are you talking about?
I know this is exactly.
Literally, well, what? I thought you were really going to give me good advice, and I'm already sitting here. I have no idea.
An index fund just tracks the market, and it costs very little, but
shut
it goes
the fuck up. Okay, no. Shut the
fuck up. Oh, wow, that sounded
up.
Like me.
You're right.
You can't play that. It sounds too much like me.
All I'm saying is that
I said that to him, and I didn't. Yeah.
People, if you're in it for the long term, that's what you have to be in it for, because it's going to go up and down, up and down. But you just hope it goes up more than it goes down. That's Shelby. I know hates capitalism.
Like a year ago, they just put like $1 trillion in to just like make it look good, so it's all fake anyway. And want to like everybody listening just heard this person say, I had 50,000 just lying around to put in and just stopped listening. They're like, everybody listening.
Well,
like,
this is the luxury lounge.
If I had 50 grand, I'd be rich. I wouldn't need the stock market. That's it. Yeah.
Well, that is, first of all, not true. If you had 50 grand, you'd be worried about getting 50 more grand, wouldn't you?
No,
you can't retire on 50 grand. You'd be off on an island. You'd be done. Shelby. I want to go to that. Please, Shelby, send me the Fandango account for the island that I can live off for 50 grand for the rest of my life. Not Fandango, the TripAdvisor for whatever island that is.
Everybody listening cannot imagine having just
that is the premise of the luxury lounge.
Jared, will you invest my money for me? Would be amazing. I got you. I'll like literally okay.
The J Train Podcast is brought to you by Roman. Listen, it's so easy to ignore problems. It's just easy to say, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll figure it out the next day. I got a little pain in my leg, but you know what? I'll walk it off. With Roman, it's easy to take care of, you know, something like ED, which ED, erectile dysfunction, also gets blamed on, oh, I had a couple drinks tonight and, you know, it'll be better the next time. And then the next time comes and, you know, it was a couple drinks and maybe, you know, tomorrow we'll kind of, and then you kind of just push it off. Listen, don't push this stuff off. GetRoman.com/JTrain. That's GetRoman.com/JTrain. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. That's an important part, because a lot of times when we push these things off, you say, do I have erectile dysfunction? Then you go, I should see a doctor. Then you go, I don't even got a doctor. Well, listen, let's go talk to a U.S. licensed healthcare professional. We'll work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. I love that. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. So this is really an opportunity. It's an opportunity to see hey, maybe you don't even need it at all, but Roman's there to kind of like hold your hand through it. Just go to GetRoman.com/JTrain. Complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/JTrain now. You'll get $15 off your first month. It's time to take care of your ED. Get started today and you'll save $15 on your first order. That's GetRoman.com/JTrain. The J Train podcast is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Did you know you can use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries? Listen, people, this is a huge opportunity. Right now, you're watching Netflix, and you know, like you're watching Netflix, but you're watching on the American Netflix. Now you go to UK Netflix and Brooklyn, you can watch Star Trek, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine is on Canadian Netflix, and Rick and Morty is on French Netflix. So what you're doing is expanding your options. And that is an amazing opportunity because you go, oh, you know, if you have a favorite show and it's only on Hulu, now you're sitting at home being like, do I get a whole, you know, thing, you know, do I get a whole new subscription just to get this one show? Well, let's try and open up your world with ExpressVPN. Here's how it works. ExpressVPN lets you change your online location so you can control where you want sites to think you're located. It's easy to use. Open the app, select a location, push a button, and you're in for thousands of new shows and TV. New shows and movies. Choose from almost 100 different countries. Wow. So UK, Japan, basically, let's take a trip around the world on our TV screen. This works with any streaming service, Hulu, BBC, iPlayer, YouTube, Netflix, etc. ExpressVPN is ridiculously fast, stream in HD, no buffering, and it works for every person and device in your home. Plus, it encrypts your data. Go to expressvpn.com/JTrain. That's expressvpn.com/JTrain. You can get an extra 3 months for free. Ooh. That's expressvpn.com/JTrain, expressvpn.com/JTrain. You can get an extra 3 months free for free. So people, expressvpn.com/JTrain. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Title it Luxury Lounge. Send in yours. We won't be as judgy as Shelby. Send in your $50,000 complaints. We are ready for them. Let's do one more. Is that okay? We got time for one more, Shelby?
Everyone? I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, here we go. Hi, Jared. My luxury issue is that when people are using the paper liner on the toilet seat, please make sure it goes down when you flush. It's so gross to walk into the toilet stall and see a used toilet liner. What the fuck am I supposed to do with it? It basically makes the stall unusable until someone takes one for the team and somehow makes it go down. I find it odd that someone is so paranoid that at work in our office, they must use a toilet liner for cleanliness. However, they don't feel an obligation to make sure no one has to touch their used toilet liner. Thanks for listening. I totally agree.
I have a lot to say.
I couldn't agree more. It is interesting that someone could be... The idea that you worry about germs, but you're selfish enough to not care about germs for others is enraging. The idea also, the toilet liners were made to be flushed down. The first time you look at a toilet liner, you're like, what the hell is going on here? Like, what is this paper scarf? And why does it have a little hat that goes down like a bib?
You gotta punch through it like on Price is Right. Punch a bunch. Yeah, gotta give a little punch.
Bib is meant to go in the toilet so that when you flush, it is heavy enough to drag the whole toilet liner down with you.
That's
Michelle,
right.
What do you have to say about this luxury complaint?
Well, first of all, I'm very conscious of my fellow toilet users. Mm-hmm. And I actually try often to leave the toilet cleaner than when I walk in. Now that means I am someone who I do squat usually over the bowl.
So you don't sit. You're out on sitting.
Well, to be honest with you, I used to at times sit, but always do a wipe down liner. Then depending on if I've had a lot to drink or if there's, you know, as a tall girl, my center of gravity is higher in the, but honestly, I don't know what did it, but I really have not sat in a toilet in a long time. I will not leave the seat dirty. I will, when I'm done, I will obviously clean myself. I will take please, I did not think I was going to be talking about this on a luxury. I will dry myself off. I will take a wad of toilet paper and I will go around and clean. If, so, you know, my aim wasn't right or whatever.
Michelle, I have
leave
to ask
it nice.
Michelle, you are actually cleaning the toilet to then hover over it?
Well, that's first sometimes, but usually I will. Yeah, I will. I will. I mean, I don't touch it with my hands. I take a big wad of TP, because I'm from a different country. I don't know what that means. Take the thing, clean it. I'm never touching, like, it never gets on me, obviously. But yeah. I personally don't like the feeling of walking out of a toilet stall, especially if there's a line or whatever, people, and then knowing they're going to go in and see something filthy, dirty, and be like, that girl's disgusting. You know what I mean? I just can't do it.
I'm the same as you, but I am leading in. I am coming in and I'm cleaning it up. Like, I'm literally coming in like I'm the janitor, and I'm willing to take a big thing of TP, as you put it, and I'll do the big wipe around, but I sit on the seat. I get down. I'm okay with it. To me, sitting on the seat with your buttocks is the same thing as your arm touching a door. Like, I really don't see the difference after I've wiped it off.
Well, the difference is that there's still, like, urine on it. You know, unless you're using a Clorox wipe, there's still uriny germs cooking on that seat. I'm not that anal, you know? It's, I mean, I don't really like to do that unless, again, like, certain circumstances. I took the Amtrak this weekend. I have never hovered so high. My ass was on top of the train.
Michelle's just taking a shit from the skylight. She had to open the door that, you know, as an Amtrak user myself, there is, and if anyone that works for that company, if you're listening right now, you have the most disgusting toilets I've ever fucking seen in my entire life.
Disgusting. Expensive ticket.
And the biggest problem with the Amtrak toilets, and again, this is a luxury lounge complaint, this is what I love about the lounge. We hopscotch from complaint to complaint. We have gone from toilet liners to now Amtrak bathrooms. The Amtrak bathroom, the biggest problem is their doors are unreliable. They have doors that the lock is not very good. So you put, there's a little slide thing, but it doesn't slide over enough where you trust the lock. I have actually sat to take a dump on an Amtrak train.
No.
And the door, it's moving around and the door has slid open while I am sitting there taking a dump. And at that point, I should be able to sue Amtrak for, you know, like, you know, mental issues at that point. Like, that is horrifying. And it's because you have to, now I'm testing that door. I'm doing engineering on the door. Every time I go in there, I'm holding it while I'm peeing. And it's like, it's not an enjoyable experience. And it's like, and the problem, again, to hopscotch onto another complaint, is there's no competitor. No one's pushing Amtrak. There's no Southwest Airlines to push Amtrak. No. There's no, you know, JetBlue to be like, hey, we have toilets that will lock.
And flush. Joe Biden loves that was the other thing.
What's Joe this, Biden Shelby?
Joe Biden loves it. So be like, hey, get lock those things up.
Yeah, Joe Biden. Listen, now they have the president supporting their company. Who's going to? They have no reason to change now. There could be a whole, like, just pile of dung just sitting in the toilets right now. We all have to take that train.
It's a ridiculous situation. But going back to the cleaning of the toilets.
Please.
When I walk into a nice clean toilet, it just feels nice. And my worst fear in the world is somebody walking in after me and thinking, what a scum.
See, I'm actually not surprised by this complaint because I do think a lot of germaphobes are a little bit selfish. They don't think of others a lot of times. Like, have you ever watched? I saw a guy the other day doing the door with his elbow. This is a big thing now with COVID where people don't want to touch the doorknob. And he was doing like jujitsu on the door. And I'm like, dude, enough. Like, enough already. This big show. And then I had, like, he did it and then slipped through and then was able to get through. And then, like, I'm left to, like he's not going to hold the door open for me. Like, no, at that point, like, he's saving himself from some unknown, you know, disease that he's not getting.
Yeah, but can't the person just take, like, a wad of toilet paper and just touch it and knock it into the toilet bowl? Like, I don't see what the problem is.
I would agree with that.
You have to loosen up a little bit, you know?
There is a point. And also, if it's someone at your office, I kind of have this thing where it's like, it's one of those weird mind things where it's like, if I'm doing it, it's right, and if everyone else is doing it, it's wrong. Same with the office. If everyone in my office is doing, like I kind of assume everyone in my office is like me because I work here. They must be as clean and amazing as me. Shelby? Mm.
The real issue isn't the little paper on the thing. It's that the sensor for the automatic toilets that's so sensitive that you could walk past the sink just to wash your hands and that would go off in a stall where the door is open.
That's awful because you'll be sitting on the toilet and sometimes all of a sudden you're just getting blasted up your anus
like
with a flush.
Times.
Yeah, and it's like,
right,
okay.
Yeah.
And what that takes away from you is the pleasure of seeing what you've produced. There is no, like, I need the flush to happen right after I see how much poop I've put in the toilet.
Oh, I need the automatic flushers are a curse upon our society. Number one, they never work. If you're my size, maybe for a petite person, it works properly. When you walk in, they're built like Hodor from Game of Thrones. The shit flushes 9 times in one session. It doesn't know where you are. It's just like, oh, there's flesh in this box. Let's just flush in case. I agree with you that on the rare occasion, by the way, that I am not only peeing, which happens in only the greatest of emergencies, I do like to see what's happening in there. So I agree with you. It should wait until I know what came out.
J Train Podcast.
Anyway, if you're interested in dating me, you should DM me at
Mishcall on Instagram, at Mishcall, the Michelle Collins Show, 7 to 10 a.m. on SiriusXM. Midnight Snack is the podcast. Go subscribe. Let's do one more. Is that okay, Mishcall?
Of course. Okay.
Shelby,
of course.
Here's a luxury lounge. Love the new segment. Well, you're going to love this whole episode. There has been so many great complaints this episode. And listen, I want your feedback. I want to hear from you. Do we like this Thursday episode? Do we not like it? Do we wish there was different segments? I think we can. We write to edit on this podcast. I am looking to tinker because I am looking for ways to keep the audience engaged and gain new listeners. And I want luxury lounge people. We're going to have merch. It's going to be great. Love the new segment. Thanks for all you do. Been a fan since the TFM days. I'm a huge fan of the Turtles, so I totally understand the push to go strawless. But occasionally, I still like a straw in my iced coffee for the vibe. If you know it's just better. And I cannot stand when coffee shops use sippy cup lids even when I request a straw. The straw just isn't controlled in the same way with a sippy cup like they are on the lids with the straw holes. This cause must be addressed right away. I totally agree. Could not agree more.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you a little tale.
Sure.
It involves the Amtrak train that we just talked about.
Okay.
I went to the new, I call it the Bobby Moynihan Station. It's the new train station by Penn Station on 34th and 8th. It is gorgeous, 33rd.
Yes,
it is Starbucks beautiful. It's really stunning. They have a Starbucks there. I got a nice Americano. That's my go-to grande. They put a lid on it. I have my luggage there, all the shit with me. That had a hole in it, like a 4-inch. You know the big hole lid? That lid needs to fucking go.
That's what she's talking about. That's the sippy cup lid. And it was to get us away from the straw.
There's two sippy cup lids. There's one that has a gaping hole, which I was offended. They gave me the gaping one.
Yeah,
and then there's one with a more lady, absolutely, a more ladylike petite hole, which is still not great. And I will still shove a straw through that hole.
Sure.
But I much prefer that. Starbucks needs to do away with the gaping hole because that shit is, you spill it. It does nothing. Might as well just not even use a lid. I still put a straw through the hole. I'm sorry. I'm a bad person. I also love turtles, but it is who I am.
We live in America. We have the right to options, freedom of choice. Yep. There should be a hole for the straw as well as the option for the sippy cup. Both should be options. I totally agree with the listener. I agree with you with the gaping hole. That straw is swirling around and moving. And now I'm doing the move where I'm looking for a straw, which nothing looks less manly than and searching around. And then this paper straw lasts for about 7 minutes. It's like you rolled up a paper towel and now you're just it's all a mess. We made a change before having solutions for the change. We didn't think this out. People saw one turtle that we're not even sure if this is even a big issue or not. And all of a sudden, we're all changing our lives. We changed quicker for the straw than we did the mask. How is that even possible?
Gun control. Okay, people can buy automatic rifles, but
this
I can't.
This is crazy.
By the way, what about the turtles who like to snort a little coke? Not thinking about them, are we? I'm sure it's not funny. Shelby, edit that out. Listen, the point is, I feel in a total agreement. I was, and they even knew, and then I got pissed because they wasted a lid for me because I said I cannot get on the train with this big open hole lid.
So no.
they shouldn't even have that at the train station, but they took that lid off, and I'm thinking, God, I hope they reuse it because I didn't even touch it. But I know they threw it out. It's just the whole thing is a fucking mess. That's all.
It's a mess. We need to figure out these tops because. In an age where, like, the thing is, there's another element of, like, the toothpaste is out of the tube. We can't, like, I can't look at my kids and be like, in the good old days, we used to be able to drink the whole drink comfortably, as opposed to, like, we can't, listen, we've come to terms with each generation. We're the first generation that's going to do financially worse than our parents. We shouldn't have to do drinkingly worse than our parents.
That? Why did you, by the way, we shouldn't have, I was actually in a good mood until you just said that. And I'm not kidding. I just got so tired. I'm like, I got to go lay down, order some Domino's. We should have a podcast called From Tops to Bottom. And it's about us talking about those Starbucks tops. Shelby, get on it.
Let's start a movement. Michelle Collins. What's the deal with the tops?
Yeah, that's why Shelby and I have personal problems.
This is it.
I love him.
Michelle Collins, thank you for coming on. This is so fantastic.
Oh my God.
The first luxury lounge. It couldn't have picked a better guest for this.
I'm flattered. I'll be honest. I was hoping to give and maybe even get some relationship advice. However, I am flattered to be here for this. And I adore you. And please come back on Sirius and on the podcast like ASAP.
Absolutely. And you have my number. We can kibitz all day long about dating stuff anytime you'd like.
That's so true. So, that's a fact.
Adore you,
Jared. Thank you.
Go follow at Mish Call, Midnight Snacks, the podcast, Sirius XM, The Michelle Collins Show. Shelby, thank you for coming on.
No, thank you.
At Classic Shelb on Instagram and Snapchat. I'm Jared Fried. We are here every Thursday with the Luxury Lounge. Get subscribed. Send it to your friends. We're going to be doing a whole new look for the show. But it's the same great time that we always have. Pleasure to have you. I want your feedback. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. And if you have a Luxury Lounge complaint, send it in. Title it Luxury Lounge. And you're in the game. We'll be back next week. Boom.